Scripture reading tonight is from Psalm 131, a song of ascent of David. O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul like a weaned child rests against its mother. My soul is like a weaned child within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. This is the word of our Lord.
It's going to be Jewish tonight because, you know, in the temple, after the scriptures read, the rabbi sits down. So we're going to go back to our Jewish roots tonight. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, all I could think about while we were worshiping you is your words, let the little children come to me. And Jesus, you knew that that meant sticky fingers and loud voices and the inability to sit still and the occasional tears and meltdown. And yet you said, let them come to me and don't let anyone keep them away. And God, it's our prayer tonight that not only these little ones in this room, Andy and Lucy and Tyler and the little ones that are represented by the people who are here, Aubrey and Isabella and Luke and Brandon and even their bigger little ones like James, Lord, you know who those little ones are. DJ, Lord, we just ask that not only would they come to you, Lord, but that we would come to you tonight like little children, that we wouldn't be afraid to climb up with our sticky, messy faces and fingers onto your very lap and be loved by you. So God, be with us as we share your word. Bring it alive for us tonight. And more than that, press it into our lives so we walk out of this place carrying it with us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I sometimes stand in awe of the way God does things. I had picked this psalm to do probably 4, 5, 6 weeks ago, and then I actually had to move it back a week because I had to switch things around. And so here I wind up preaching on this Psalm 131, which is one of my favorites, the Song of Ascent. The very 48 hours in which I have my grandchildren, and I get to think about children asleep, maybe not on their mother's chest, but on their grandmother's chest. And so it gave me an opportunity this week in the middle of busyness and craziness and lots of playing to kind of experience this psalm from the other side. So I'm really thankful for that. This psalm, every time I come across it, I realize our desperate need for it. And I love it that it's a David psalm because there's just something about the psalms that David wrote. There's something about David's heart, the way he loved God, the way he was hungry for God, not that he lived a perfect life, but that he was just desperate for more of God. And so he writes in this psalm, you know, he's not concerning himself with things too high for him, too lofty for him. And, you know, sometimes I think in this crazy, hectic technology, knowledge thrown at us world, that's not a bad thing to take a break back from trying to understand and know and analyze everything. And just to step back. And then David says he has calmed and quieted his soul like a weaned child against its mother's breast is my soul within me. And I love that image. We live in a world where there's a lot of talking. And the further technology goes with streaming audio and video and Netflix and newscasts and political shows, there's just so much talking. It's something I struggle with because I do a lot of talking. And I then run across this psalm, which is an invitation to stop talking. To stop talking, to quiet down, and to listen. Not just to listen to what the rest of the world is saying, but to listen to God. So whenever I read this psalm, I am so reminded of the spiritual disciplines that we as the 21st century church have forgotten about. The disciplines of solitude, of getting away by ourselves just to be with ourselves and God. The spiritual discipline of silence. You know, we've all heard of monks who take vows of silence and they just don't talk ever. And that's not really what the spiritual discipline of silence is, but it's carving out some time just to be silent, just to stop talking. And then it also reminds me of really what Sabbath is supposed to be. You know, we live in this 7 days a week world, and we've lost somehow what Sabbath was. I don't know about you all, but my Sunday is sometimes the busiest day of the week. Running around, getting everything done for church, going to visit Tom's mom, having dinner with the kids. It's a crazy day. And as much as I love that, I know that God created me, he created you in this rhythm of work and rest, of work and rest, of busy and then quiet and peacefulness. And so I think it's so important, probably more important than any other generation of Christians in history, for us to go back and revisit some of these ideas of silence, of solitude, of Sabbath rest. There's a writer who says you should have 1 minute of Sabbath rest in every hour, and 1 hour of Sabbath rest in every day, and 1 day of Sabbath rest in every week, and 1 week of Sabbath rest at least once a year. Our souls crave it. God created us like that. God himself was like that. He created the world, and then he rested. He just was. And this psalm gives us that invitation to just be in God's presence. Not to just be quiet, but to be quiet in God's presence. Not just to calm our souls, but to calm them leaning against the everlasting arms, wrapped up in those everlasting arms of Jesus. And one of the things that I love about God is that we hold all these different attributes of God in balance, because God is majestic. His voice roars like the thunder. The mountains melt like wax before him. Angels and beings that would take our breath away cover their faces in his presence, because he's that holy, because he's that radiant, because he's that glorious. And yet he is also like the mother hen who shelters us under his wing. He is the one who says to us, come to me, all you who are weary and tired and beaten up and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am gentle. I am gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your weary souls. So somehow God is immense and powerful and glorious and intimate and personal and loving at the same time. And the very same God we sometimes fall down on our knees before him in the wonder of his glory. And yet that same God invites us, just as Lucy's on my lap, to climb up on his lap and be loved by him. Some of us are probably more comfortable with the idea of falling before God in worship and glory than climbing up on God's lap and letting him love us the way he longs to. And yet that's part of what it means to be in relationship with him. And we rob ourselves of that when we don't learn how to be quiet. We don't learn how to be still, when we don't learn how to just sit in his presence. Because, you know, even our quiet times, even our devotional times, even our prayer times are noisy. Because we fill them up with a schedule of things we have to do, to read the Bible and to read a devotional book maybe, and to pray and to give God our list of concerns. And while all those things are incredibly important, it is also really important for us to get comfortable with just sitting in God's presence. The psalmist reminds us in Psalm 46 that God says this, be still and know that I am God. And somehow in the stillness, even more than in the noise of worship sometimes, it's in the stillness that we begin to know who God is. Elijah was longing to hear from God, looking to hear from God. And he looked in a fire, and he looked in a storm, and he didn't find God there. And then all of a sudden, in a gentle breeze, was the still small voice of God, and that's how God spoke. And even though God's voice sometimes is thunderous, most often I think God speaks to our heart in that still small voice. He speaks to us in the quiet, and sometimes when we're not hearing from God, it may be because we're not really listening. Like we say, hey, God, real quick, 30 seconds. Give me your best shot. Tell me what you got, you know? And God is longing, I believe, with all my heart, to teach us how to just linger in his presence. And that may be really uncomfortable for some of you. It was very uncomfortable when I first started it. And it's one of the things, as a matter of fact, that I add on the list of things that I am tremendously grateful for with my vision loss. Because when I first lost my vision, I couldn't do much of anything but sit. I couldn't even read because I didn't know Braille then, and I had very little exposure to audiobooks or anything like that. So I just spent a lot of time praying and thinking and musing and listening and letting God bring back to my heart scripture verses that I memorized that I didn't even know I had memorized. And those were such precious times. They're why I really believe I never went through a deep, dark depression when I lost my vision, because God was so close to me. He was so strongly in it. I knew that no matter what happened, it was going to be okay. And that's not on any account of big faith on my part, because my faith is scarily small and easily crumbles. But that's a testimony to how gracious and kind God has been to me through my blindness, coming and sitting right down alongside of me and teaching me a new way of worshiping him and praying. A journey we started all those years ago in 2001 when I lost my vision, and we're continuing on now. There's something about being silent in God's presence. There's something about just sitting there. And it's something that if you don't do already, I would love to encourage you to do. And if that means you have to start like with 10 seconds of dead silence, try it. And then try to stretch it out. Sometimes when you're first starting, what's really helpful is to take one phrase of some part of scripture that moves you. Tonight's psalm would be perfect. I've calmed and quieted my soul. And picture yourself calm and quiet, leaning against Jesus, like a weaned child with its mother is my soul within me. And just think on that verse in the silence. Let your spirit fill up the words. Let the Holy Spirit fill up the words, rather than you feel like you have to say a lot to God. Another psalm that I think is wonderful for doing that, and sometimes if you want to do work on consecutive days of being quiet, is to take the 23rd psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. And just repeat that to yourself. The Lord is my shepherd. And picture all the richness that means. And ask God to show you what richness he has for you in whatever verse of scripture you pick. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God, what does it mean to not want? What does it mean to be satisfied in you? Show me what that looks like. And you sit in the silence and you let him do it. I'm convinced that the people I know who have the richest, strongest faith, the people I know who have relationships with God that I want my relationship with God to be like, are people who are not afraid to be quiet. Who people who have worked through the uncomfortableness of sitting in quiet, of people who don't beat themselves up when they try to be quiet and their mind automatically goes to their to-do list. Because when that happens, when you're trying to be quiet and you keep thinking about what you have to do, then you simply say, you know what, God, I'm giving you my to-do list, and then get back to the silence. But I would love to encourage you this week, maybe even tomorrow, to give yourself permission to be silent. Even if you start with 10 seconds or 30 seconds or a minute, even if you have to set a timer, that's okay. Even if it's horribly uncomfortable, even if you feel like an idiot, even if you don't know what to do, start getting your soul used to quiet. Start getting your soul used to silence. Start getting your soul used to being in a position, in a place where you can really hear God speak Sometimes I look at my life and I fill it up with busyness. And then I catch a glimpse of just the tiniest bit of what God's trying to say to me. And I know he has so much more to say to me if I would just learn how to listen. And I know this, the first place we learn how to listen is in the silence. So I was going to try to give you a minute of silence tonight, but I don't think my grandson is going to cooperate with that. And it's going to be horribly distracting. So I'm going to pray. And then I would love to really encourage you not just to walk out the door and forget that, but to try to think about working that into your day. Lord God, we thank you that you are an interactive God, that you're a God who speaks, who longs to speak to us. Lord, that you long to be in relationship with us, communicating your truth and your love to us, pressing your truth into our lives in a way that transforms us. God, so we're asking for you to pour out your spirit on us. God, to give us the ability to sit quietly before you. God, meet us in our discomfort. Meet us in our feeling foolish. God, speak a word to us in the silence that will give us a hunger for more. Lord, help us to be comfortable sometimes with less words than more words. Less of us, God, and more of you. Less talking, God, and more listening. We ask that you would do that for us. In Jesus' name, amen.